Basi
our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 131, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Mount Zion, glorious and fair, gives joy to people in all lands. The city of the mighty King in majesty securely stands. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 131.
We wish to read from God's holy and precious word from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, but first the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 5, beginning with verse 12 to the end. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And, behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutas, boasting himself to be somebody. to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty, Most High, Eternal, Good, Just, and also Gracious and Merciful God, who dost dwell in the heavens, and we upon thy footstool, and that thou hast created, and that we have turned upside down and destroyed. O, we beseech thee, in the name of Jesus, whom we have heard in these moments, who does sit on the right hand of thy power, and who does send forth his Holy Spirit, who is so very, very powerful. We need thy power, for we are powerless, for we are helpless. Oh, we are worse than powerless. We are rebellious. We are ever against thee. Oh, then we need a power greater than the power of the creation. Oh, we need the power of the redeeming work of thy Holy Spirit to take a will that is against thee, to take a disposition, our very nature, and to change it, and to give unto us a new heart and a new flesh, from a rebellious creature to a willing people in the day of thy power. O Lord, we beseech thee, who has shown thy power on that day of Pentecost, and then especially in the days of which we may read also in these moments, and when the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved, drawing them out of the fire from the pit of hell, drawing them from the service of the devil, of Satan, and of this world and of sin, unto a life of holiness, a desire to walk in the paths of all thy commandments, with a desire to return unto a God who made us. O Lord, give that power may be experienced in the heart of both young and old in our midst. And we can read also of that power that was necessary in the hearts and in the minds of thy disciples. Oh, when their own wills were broken, and when they were given to be like sheep, truly as sheep, to follow thee in thy way. And when all the desires after this world and its glory were taken away, and when they were resigned, oh, when they were made so glad to follow thee in thy way, Oh, then we can read that thou didst open their understandings also, that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, we beseech thee also for thy children, for Lord, thou knowest where they are. Oh, they are poor, Lord. In themselves, they have nothing. And thou knowest each and every one of them. All that is from their side is worth nothing. All that is comes from their side, or they cannot add anything to thee. Lord, then it is all poverty, and it is all sin. But oh, that thou may open their understandings, and that thou may show them their fountain, from which all things do flow, and that they may receive out of that fountain and that living water, or that they may drink therefrom, or that the meek might eat, Lord, and that they might be satisfied from that fountain of living waters, and that thou may give them to walk in the midst of this world as a light that is upon a hill, or as a candle and that is put upon a candlestick, that they may be given to be an example to all around, an example of a turning away from all that is perishing, of one who has his eye as set in this world to walk upon that straight and that narrow way, and his eye looking to him who is sitting on the right hand of power. Lord, that that power may be experienced to keep thy church also, because they are ever wanderers. Oh, they are ever going after this and that in the midst of this world. And then they do come with sorrow and shame upon their heads again. And when thou dost bring them as sheep again into thy fold and into thy pasture once more, O Lord, then time and again, and they come in ashamed. But oh, that thou wouldst lead them more and more in the straightness of thy way. Oh, that thou may also finish thy work, Lord, because, oh, thy servant did say that that work that thou hast for me begun, and that thou wouldst by thy grace make it to be fully done. And then there are those who cannot finish it, and they could not begin it, and they cannot keep it, and they cannot finish it. Oh Lord, everything has to come from thee, everything from thy wisdom, everything from thy power, everything from thy goodness, everything flowing out of thy love. For thou hast loved them with an everlasting love. Oh, give them to see a little bit today in thy house of prayer, of thy keeping, and that thou art the Alpha, but also the Omega, because that is a greater wonder, if thou wilt finish it for them, and because they do forsake thee, and they forsake thee days without number. And then it would be no wonder if thou wouldest cast them away, if thou wouldest leave them over to themselves. But thou wilt never forsake the work of thine own hands, O Lord, that thou may bring more into that fold than it is away that is so mysterious in the life of thy people. As so often they do not know the way. Oh, thy way is in the sea, and thy path, and that is through the great waters. But Lord, that thou may bring more in, and then it is not for our flesh an easy way. It is not the choice of our flesh. But when thou art our choice, and then when we are thy choice, oh, then it will become our choice. Oh, that thou wouldst choose us, Lord, and that thou wouldst take us, fathers and mothers, both old and young, each one of us by heart and by hand. And when we do hear thy word continually, Oh, that thou may also send more servants into thy vineyard. Thou knowest this week that does lie before us. Oh, we do not know what a day brings forth, and we are without wisdom, also as a curatorium. Lord, what shall we do? Oh, that thou may go before us to show us the way and to point out a man, if it could please thee, to go forward. Thou knowest our youth, and thou knowest our children, and thou knowest the aging of thy servants. Thou knowest also our weaknesses. O Lord, could it please thee yet to increase the number of those whom thou dost choose and whom thou dost send forth? Because one says that I will follow thee, and thou sayest that the Son of Man has not a place to lay his head, where the foxes have holes and the birds of the air their nests. O Lord, then if thou dost not send a man, then it will all be nothing. But thou, when thou wilt send, or when thou wilt begin it, then thou wilt also finish it. And then we need wisdom to discern. Oh, we need thy spirit, Lord. We need that thou would lead us. We need that thou would guide us. Oh, forsake us not in these most important decisions, but that thou would gather with us at our meeting, and that thou may give us that wisdom and that discretion and that discernment, O Lord, that we might feel that thy presence is near, and that thou goest before us, and that thou doest thy will, and that thou dost gladden us with thy deeds. O Lord, that thou may remember in all the traveling to and fro, all those that must meet together, that thou would give traveling mercies to each one, and that thou may bless all the labors that are done in the midst of thy church to maybe send forth in the Netherlands, may be received in the Netherlands into the theological school. Oh, that thou thyself may remember them, and that thou may bless the labors, the instruction that may be given unto them, and that they also may be truly humbled before thee, and that they may be made fit to go out, not in the strength of a man, but in the strength of God. O Lord, we beseech thee then for our denomination in thy mercy, and that thou wouldest bless us, and that thou mayest continue thy own work, and that thou hast done in our midst, in our fathers, in our forefathers. Do remember also the mission field, thy servant who will return therefrom. Remember him and his family. Remember the mission itself. Oh, that thou may give, that there may be also workers to go forth in the midst of those who are deceived, and that thou mayest do a great work yet upon the earth, who art sitting upon the right hand of power, that thou may look on all the afflicted and the sick ones also, those that receive treatments, medications for the mind, for the body. Thou knowest those that suffer from addictions, and the power of the devil is very great, but thy power, O Lord, that is greater. Oh, that they may also experience this, that thou mayest do for them what they cannot do for themselves, because we read in thy word, and that even the devils were subject unto them. O Lord, could it please thee to show thyself also for those who are under such an influence? also in the days wherein we do live. Wilt thou remember our governments, all that rule and reign over us, also in the United States of America, O Lord, that thou would also give in the midst of our nations men who may rule and govern according to thy holy word. Oh, bring us back as a people who have departed so far from thee and from thy holy word. And wilt thou so care for the nation of Israel? Lord, thou knowest all that they stand in need of. When the world does gather also against them, but Lord, thou art able to supply for them. Wilt thou care for all that are in war-torn places? Wilt thou protect human life? And wilt thou bring man back unto thee? Or that thou may remember all those that are working for thy kingdom, in thy kingdom, over the length and breadth of this whole world, in places where thy word is not allowed to be brought, even in the days in which we are living, where there are persecutions, where there are oppressions. Oh, help those that are oppressed. Thou hearest the needy, we read in thy word. When they cry, thou savest their souls, O Lord. When they are about to die, look on us also. Look on us in this hour. Oh, we need thee, Lord, in the preaching, and we need thee in the hearing. Oh, wilt thou stand on the right, and wilt thou stand on our left, and take away the little foxes that spoil the vines, for the vines they do bring forth tender grapes. Oh, that we may be given a little food then also for them, a little nourishment, and that thy spirit may be evidently, feelingly, and believingly in the midst of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 194, all six stanzas. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest ends abounds his peaceful rule shall be. We make the following announcement. The Lord willing, Mr. Braden Grisnick and Miss Michaela Fisher hope to be united in the bond of holy matrimony on Saturday, June 15th. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, June 11. Psalter 194, all the stanzas. Thank you. Beloved congregation, the day of Pentecost was standing at the beginning of a new time in the world. The Bible calls it the last time, that is the end time, that is the time in which you and I may be privileged still to live. Do we also consider it a privilege and that we may live in this time? Because the Lord has revealed to John, we read that in the book of Revelations, that the Lord did send an angel, a mighty angel, boys and girls, a mighty angel, and we can read in God's word how strong that Satan is. Never mock with those things, young people, the might of the devil, and that the world is mocking with, who is in much doing much in this world, but the Lord would send a mighty angel that is one who would bind Satan. He would bind him 1,000 years and put him into prison. That is, when Christ will rise from the dead, then he himself will show something of that strength and that power that is given to him of his Father, and he will bind the devil himself, that he should, we read, deceive the nations no more until those 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Thus, 4,000 years, the devil was permitted by the Lord to deceive the world. That was from the fall until the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people in the whole world never knew anything, billions and billions of people in the world that had only the natural revelation of God, that never had his word of truth. There was only a few individuals in the beginning, and then Abraham and Isaac with his family, and then just that one nation of Israel in the midst of the entire world. Thus, so many people in the world in those 4,000 years have perished by the deceit of that prince of darkness. And now the New Testament time would be a different time, because the Lord was going to, with power, bind that devil. And the gospel that was going now to go forth throughout the entire world, and that church of God, in the greatness of it, in the multitude of it, is now in that New Testament time going to be brought in. That does not mean that the devil is not going to rage from hell. We can see that especially in the time of the early church, how that he is raging there from hell. But he cannot perform. We read in the Bible of a great chain that devil is bound with, and that he can rage a little here and there, but he is not able to perform that desire and that intention and that is within him. And then John writes, when those 1,000 years are fulfilled, and then Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And the Bible says a little season, just a little while in the end of this world. And then we read that he is going to gather the nations of the world to battle. He is going to deceive them. What does that mean? That truth will have no place with the nations of the world, because they are going to be under the deception of Satan himself. And thus, even the arguments that are rational, that are truthful, and they are not going to have any weight in the midst of this world, because that Satan is being loosed out of his prison, and Satan is being permitted to gather himself against that true church of God. Does that make you afraid? Say, those will be fearful times. We read in the Bible that will be a persecution like has never been seen before in the whole world. Does that make you afraid? Fathers, mothers, you see all those little children. And then we see the beginnings of this letting loose. In our days, we do not know how quickly, but we see more quickly and more quickly and more quickly how that Satan is being loosed out of that prison. The true church of God does not need to be afraid. Are we one of that true church of God? Why don't they need to be afraid? Because just read the end of it. Then we read that fire came down from heaven, from God, out of heaven, and devoured them. And that Satan was cast into that lake of fire. Thus a sudden change in the favor of God's people. That is the way it is going to be. That is the way it has always been for God's people. From the beginning unto the end, the Bible now says that it is always going to remain the same. Or because it can look and it can feel, it can seem that everything is against that true people of the Lord. And it can seem like there is no God in heaven, and that they are not known by God at all. And then the Lord comes. And then they may be delivered by the Lord. Oh, the Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's also true the other way around. There is a way that seemeth so wrong. It seems so wrong in your life. Does it seem so wrong? You say, if this is the way it is going, this cannot be in the right way. Or there is a way also that seemeth so wrong in the life of the people. But the end thereof are the ways of life. Our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Acts chapter 5 and verses 38 and 39. Acts 5 verses 38 and 39. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. So far the words of our text. The endurance of spiritual works. First, the work of men, and second, the work of God. The endurance of spiritual works. First, the work of men, and second, the work of God. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Who is that? Who is speaking? His name is Gamaliel. He is a Pharisee. He is a doctor of the law. He is a teacher. And one of his students was Saul of Tarsus. And we read here that he is had in reputation among all the people. And here this Gamaliel is giving advice. He is giving advice to the council, or what is called in other places the Sanhedrin. They are gathered. Why? Because there is a commotion, a great commotion. That commotion is in that city of Jerusalem. And what is the commotion about? The commotion is about the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You say he is dead. That's what they said too. That's what they thought too. He is dead. But evidently he is not dead. That is now being experienced in Jerusalem. Who is experiencing that he is not dead? Who experiences in this world that he is not dead? Those that are helpless. Those that are oppressed. Those that are incurable. They experience that he is not dead, like that lame man. He is lying there at that gate, beautiful. And he cannot walk. He is lame more than 40 years. That was even from his mother's womb. He is laying there so helpless. And he experiences that the Lord Jesus is not dead, but that he is very, very much alive. He experiences his power. And it is not only he, but there are more, because we read there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and were healed every one. So all of them do experience that same thing. It is all the sick and it is all the afflicted. Are you also then one of those people who may experience that power of him that truly lives, that is all of, in the name of Jesus? And then there are so many we read that are brought through these things to believe his doctrine. Oh, congregation, did you ever become incurable? Did you ever become helpless like those people? We do not like to come there. But that is now the place that the Lord is giving a person to know, to experience for his own soul, that there is no man on the earth, not himself, not his father, children, not his mother, that there is mercy that is pouring out of their heart for you, that they cannot help you. You ever feel that? That your father and mother, that they love you, but they cannot give to you what you need. As you are traveling through this world and you are going to meet that great and that eternal and that majestic God, and that your father and your mother are so helpless to give unto you what you need. Oh, do you ever feel your own helplessness? Because that is now the place that the Lord is giving a man to feel the power, to experience the power that is on the right hand of God. That is a very great problem for the rulers, for the Pharisees, for the scribes. And why? Because they slew the Lord Jesus. And now, when they had put him to death, they say now to them, ye intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You intend to cast us as if we are the guilty ones. Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Your doctrine that condemns us, the rulers, the Pharisees, the scribes. The doctrine that is condemning our doctrine that we have been teaching in Jerusalem for all of these many years, just as Jesus condemned us, and just as Jesus condemned our doctrine, which we have been teaching. Thus these Pharisees and rulers are very frustrated. And they caught the apostles, we read, and they cast them into the prison. And then the angel of the Lord comes, and the angel of the Lord releases them out of the prison. So everything that these rulers are doing, everything they are doing is failing. They have fought for years. They have tried to capture the Lord Jesus in his words. They have sent men to do that, but they were not able. They were put to silence. There was no man in the whole world that could speak as this man. Oh, there was already for them a great frustration. And then they tried to persuade the people against him. They even used censor. If you will confess his name, we will throw you out of the synagogue. But it was all congregation to no avail. And then they got themselves a traitor, and then they paid him so that he would deliver him unto them. And then they arrested him and had false witnesses. They convinced the multitude. They convinced Pilate. And they put the Lord Jesus to death. And now they are done with him, right? Now they are all finished. They're rid of him. And now everything can settle back down again. And now this. Now things, it seems, they have only gotten worse. Oh, it seems that this doctrine and this teaching of Jesus is only increasing. It is only spreading wider and wider. It is only gripping the hearts of more and more people here in Jerusalem. What do the rulers do? Oh, they call again a council. They bring those apostles before them. They will interrogate those apostles. They will ask them questions. Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? But the apostles cannot be silenced. We read, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. We heard that before. Day of Pentecost. And then 3,000 men are pricked in their heart by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And they are crying out under those accusations, men and brethren, what shall we do? But we do not read that here. No, we read congregation exactly the opposite. We read that when they heard that they were cut to the heart. They were not pricked in their heart. The Lord is so gentle, isn't he? The Lord is so gentle. And the devil is so cruel. All these men here, they are cut to the heart. That is as if we cut the heart right in half, like we use a saw, boys and girls, when we divide something. And they are actually destroyed, as it were, and by this word. Oh, that is the consequence of the truth of God in their conscience, but it does not have that blessed and that soft and that pricking, convincing power. All these men are without that power, and thus they cannot own their own iniquity, just the opposite. And they take counsel. They're going to slay these men, the apostles, just as they slew the Lord Jesus Christ. They are now going to take his followers, the preachers, and they are going to slay them. Thus that Sanhedrin begins to deliberate. They're going to deliberate, how are we going to go about this thing? And then in that moment, Gamaliel arises. That is the way they must have done it. When they wanted to speak, he arises and he wishes to speak. And everyone is silent because they have respect for this doctor, this teacher of the law. Is Gamaliel a follower of the Lord Jesus? Secretly, maybe. Congregation, we do not read of that. Anywhere in the Word of God, there are conjectures of this and that, but we do not read of this. One thing is sure, that what takes place here is guided from heaven. It is guided by him who is sitting upon the throne and who is watching over his apostles whom he has set forth. And he is now guiding the words and what is being put here in the mouth of this Gamaliel. So he is speaking here words of truth. And he is speaking here words of wisdom. Oh, do you believe that in the most dire circumstances with every enemy around you, that the Lord has everything in his hands, that the Lord can speak and he can even use the enemies that are against his work, that he can use them to further his own cause? O people of the Lord, there is nothing that depends upon you. Nothing. Because he is seated there on the right hand of God. And it was not the disciples that needed to speak here. No, it was a very man of the Sanhedrin himself. And the Lord here opens his mouth. Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. And then he speaks about two history cases in history, that is of Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee. They are men who set themselves forward. They put themselves into the foreground. They boasted, we read, and that he was somebody. And they had a following congregation. Let us learn from this. Because can we see when a man places himself forward? Because they often have a following in this world also. But that following was just for a time, and then it came to nothing, Gamaliel says. And from those two examples, Gamaliel now gives advice in these circumstances. He says, refrain. Refrain from these men. Do not slay them. Why not? He gives reasons. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Thus Gamaliel makes a distinction. He speaks about the two kingdoms. He says there is a kingdom of God, and there is a kingdom of men, as it were, or there is a kingdom of the devil. And those two kingdoms, they are continually going against one another, and they are in the hearts of men and in the mouths of men. And what men are speaking, what men are doing, that is either from the one kingdom or it is from the other kingdom. So he's making this distinction in the midst of this world. And what does he say? He says that we cannot always immediately tell. We cannot always know, is this now from God or is this now from men? Because we are but men. So things, he said, are not always the same as they are appearing at the first. Sometimes you need just to leave something, because if it is of men or of God, it will make itself evident in the time. You cannot always do that, of course, but in these circumstances, he says that is the wisest course. Gamaliel speaks about the end of the works of men. He says, they come to naught. Do you believe that? The work of God can be imitated for a little while. No, actually can be imitated for a long time. But the end of it, he says, it comes to naught. You ever fear that for yourself? You say, what is it in me? Is it the work of men? Or is it the work of God? That is something to examine, not for our neighbor, but for ourselves. Do you ever fear? Because that is a fear of God's children so often.
that they say, yes, there is this in my life, there is that in my life, but is it now the Lord's work? What is now the beginning? Is it emotion? Is it just something that is natural? Or is this from the Word, from God Himself? Congregation, did the Lord ever stop you? And did the Lord ever bring your work, because the work of men, that will come to naught. Did your work, all of your seeking, all of your desiring, all of your religion, everything, did your work ever come to naught in order that the Lord may magnify His own work, that He may glorify Himself within your heart? The Lord works a wonder in the life of His people. That is when our work is done and it all comes to nothing. Wasn't not in the life of the disciples. There had to be a wonder in their life. Because when the Lord Jesus was in the grave, and it was all done, wasn't it? It was all done. Then it was impossible that this ever could come good. That was impossible from their side. They could not see it. That's so in your life also. Because then there comes a wonder in the life of those disciples. Think about Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. Pharisee. He knew it all. And he had it all. And then the Lord did a wonder. He spoke about that wonder later. It was not easy to go through because everything had to be taken away from him. And then a wonder. All those sick people, all the expectations in this world, and the body, yeah, that is going down, it goes to death. And then, all wonder. Congregation, if there is never a wonder in our life, then it is the work of men. Then it is not the work of God, because the work of man is skipping over this. Why? Because man sets himself in the foreground. He sets himself in the foreground. So let us meditate upon this. That is what the Bible says here. As if they were somebody. And that is what we do. It is just our pride. It is just what is living in us by nature. But we can make such a show of this. Just like Thutis and Judas of Galilee. And we can also have a following. People say, oh, that man, that woman, oh, she has it. That is one of God's people. Oh, congregation. Gamaliel speaks here as a Pharisee. As a Pharisee. Do you know what he did not realize? He condemned himself. He condemned himself and he condemned his own religion. When he said, if it is the work of men, it will come to naught. Because a man can speak pious words, very pious words, and he can speak true words. And himself be on the outside of it. Is that not concerning? Is that not frightening? That can be a minister himself speaking the truth to you. And yet, lack it himself. Why does the work of men come to naught? Because it lacks a good foundation. Every religion, all the religions of this world that are false, all come from the heart of a man. They're not made by God. They're made by man, every one of them. They're all the same. What is that? That is covenant of works. Look at them one day, all young people. covenant of works, every one of them. It's the only thing we know. It's the only way we can make up a religion. Somehow, this way, that way, that way, all a little different. But all that same covenant. And it will all come to naught. Why? Because there is only one spiritual rock. The Apostle Paul says, and that rock is Christ. That is now that rock. Other foundation, he says, can no man lay than that is laid, and that is Christ Jesus. Let us sing 355, stanza 1. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. The first stanza of 355. Second thought, the work of God. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. The work of God, congregation, cannot be overthrown. That is impossible. Why? Well, who would overthrow it? Would have to be a man, would have to be the devil, and man and the devils are all God's creatures. So how can a creature that is created by God be stronger than God, than he would be God? No, it is impossible that the work of God, Gamaliel says, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. He says, who would dare to think such a thing? And who would even dare to think that he could be prosperous in such a thing, to fight against God? How much fighting against God has not taken place in that early church? In the persecutions of the early church, they were within the church, the Jews, the Judaizers within the church, persecuting the church of God, and without of the church, and yet It could not be overthrown. Whoever Gamaliel was, it seemed he had a little impression in that time when he saw, when he looked at everything that was happening of the power, that there was something that was very, very powerful, and that of all the fighting, or maybe he had just thoughts, even natural thoughts, we do not know, in his mind, with all that they are trying to do, nothing seems to help. And indeed, the evidences that it was the work of God were very, very clear. And what were those evidences? Well, that the poor had the gospel preached unto them, because that was now the great difference between the doctrine of the Pharisees and the scribes, what was from men, and that doctrine which was from God, which all Jerusalem was now being filled with. Thus, the work of men, that is relying on the strength of a man, of the wisdom of a man, of the righteousness of a man. And that is why it comes to naught, he says, because man is a fallen creature. And all of his works have nothing, they have no merit with God. We profess that, but do we believe it? Do we believe it? Do we experience this in our own life, in our own heart, that everything that I can do, I can try to do, that my most holy works are nothing but sin in the sight of God? Congregation, if your works have come to naught, maybe there is room. Maybe there is room then today in your heart for a work that can never be overthrown. Is that so with you? Is there room in your heart this day, this hour, when all your own work has come to naught, for a work that Gamaliel, Pharisee, he says will never, never, never be overthrown? Well, what do you think of that? To have a work that cannot be overthrown. That is now the work that those apostles were preaching. And they were preaching that work in the midst of Jerusalem to a people who were burdened. That is what the Lord Jesus said. That the Pharisees were laying burdens on people that were grievous to be borne. And thus there were people in Jerusalem that were grieved under the burdens that the Pharisees and scribes were laying on them. What were those burdens? They were burdens of the law. They were burdens of the ceremonial law. They were burdens that said, do this, and thou shalt live. Burdens. They could not be lifted by that people. Are there those here who cannot lift the burdens of the law? Even the law that the Lord has laid upon us, that do weigh you down? That is now the place that the apostles were given to preach. And then they preached a name to that people that was the name of Jesus. And that name of Jesus, that was a great relief to a people who were under burdens. Under burdens that they were not able to bear. To lift up of themselves. That they had to be holy. That they had to bring forth their own righteousness. Their own holiness. A Pharisaical holiness and a righteousness. A people who could not do that. And then the apostles, they may preach in that city that was so burdened by that doctrine. And then there was a people in there who received a great relief. Or whose eyes were opened that they may see him even for a moment. That they may see that it is a way of grace. That it is free and sovereign grace. That it is all lying in an accomplished work. A finished work. A work that has been done upon that cross. Oh, that is now the name of Jesus. That may be preached the doctrine of Jesus. A doctrine of free grace. To a condemn-worthy people. That was the doctrine that may go out in the midst of that people. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Oh, it was a doctrine, congregation of mercy unto the poor. It was work. Of a mighty Savior, Jesus, who was dead and who is alive and who is alive forevermore and who is sitting, and the apostles did say, at that right hand of power. What does that mean to you, that he has power? What does that mean to you? That all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Nothing? Because if all our work is come to naught, that has all come to naught, and the Lord shows you where that power is, then a congregation will be everything unto you. If he is merciful unto the poor, if he is gracious unto the guilty, and if he is powerful for the helpless, is that not everything? Is that not everything? What do you need more than that? How can his work overthrown? He said to that man that was sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Who could overthrow it? Who could overthrow it? They can murmur against it. They can say, "Who is this that forgiveth sins?" But they cannot overthrow it, because he stood their congregation as that mighty Savior. Mighty Savior. And he can say to that people, what is easier? To say, rise up and walk? Or thy sins be forgiven thee? But know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And now what man or what devil can overthrow the grace of God? Is not the judge free? Can he not do what he will with his own? Can he not say that he will receive? What Christ has accomplished, his own son, as a payment for his own elect. May he not do that? Is he in any way bound? Who can say unto him, what doest thou? Or who can overthrow it? Were you ever like that sick palsied man laying on your bed, a bed of helplessness, a bed of guilt? Oh, did the Lord ever open that unto your own soul? Oh, that you might see where that power lies, that it lies in the love of him, that it lies in his good pleasure. Did you ever see a little of the foundation upon which that church is standing on? Oh, that it gave you one moment's hope, a hope in your soul. When did that happen? When did that happen? How many years ago? I dare say there are people that may be sitting here or listening for whom that has taken place 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And they still remember it. They still remember it. Can anyone take it away from you? You say it is not fulfilled yet. And what do? You keep going back to it, don't you? You go back to that place, don't you? Why? Because the Lord has put a hope in you. A hope in you. And all these years, though you cannot yet say that it is fulfilled, you cannot yet say that I have the assurance, you cling. You're clinging to it. And who has overthrown it? Who can take away what you have seen? Who can take away what the Lord has given in your own soul to see and to hope in that name of Jesus Christ? But if it be God, of God, ye cannot overthrow it. What did then Omai say to Ruth? Oh, she says, return after thy sister-in-law. She has gone back. She has gone back to her people. She has gone back to her gods. Look in your life. Everything is against you. Your husband is dead. Go back now. But she could not overthrow it. She could not overthrow it. She could overthrow it in Orpah. Why? Because it was of the work of men. It was just a couple of tears is what it was. Looked the same on the outside. But the trial. But the beating of the sun. And then the work of men. It all came to naught. No congregation. It is not just an assured work that will not come to naught. It is not just an assured work that will not come to naught. It is God's work. God's work. That shall not come to naught. God's work. That cannot be overthrown. Job says, will the wicked always call upon God? The wicked, will they always call? Will they keep calling upon God? No, they will not. He says that is the distinction. Because God's people will always call upon God. Always. They will continue to call upon Him because if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Sometimes it seems like it is overthrown. Just look at Solomon. And he is going into the temples of his wives, the idol temples, and Satan is laughing. And God's people are mourning. Maybe they said it is all overthrown. Maybe you say the same thing. Oh, it looks so good. Maybe it was in my youth. And now it shows in my life. Because it is all gone. It's all gone. But Solomon spoke about that himself. About that declension. Lying upon a bed of sloth. And you know what he said upon that bed? He said, sloth, sleeping, is not dead. There are two different things. And he spoke about the struggles. The struggles when he was lying on that bed. You know them. You know what that is? It was good long ago. And my heart now, that is a heart in the world. That is a heart that follows after the idols. And then there are struggles. Here's the Lord calling. It is the voice of my beloved calling unto me. Is that people dead? Is that people dead? Is that work of the Lord overthrown? Oh no. That is far from overthrown. Who keeps the work of God alive? Do they keep the work of God alive? No. They do not. They cannot. They could not start it. Nor can they continue it. Nor can they finish it. There is nothing. There is nothing that comes from the side of man. Because what is of man, that will come to naught. But everything from the beginning to the end, that is coming from the side of Jesus for his people. And then they may sleep, but he is not sleeping. He is not sleeping. But he is sitting there on that right hand of power, and he will never suffer the foot of that people to be moved. Never. But he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. O congregation, God's work is indestructible. It is the work of God. Is that now not a great comfort to his church? In every condition that people may be in their life, is that now not the greatest comfort for them? Is it ever a comfort? Sometimes, by moments, a comfort. Also to you this week, Curatorium. Curatorium. Young people, you know who that is for? That is for you. It's for you. I wish I could make you feel that in these moments, because to be honest, I tremble to go to that meeting. I tremble. Why? Because I am a fool. Because we cannot see into the heart of man. And we have to make decisions. We have to discern. And how can now we discern between the work of God and the work of a man? But now that is so, so important. We can make a mistake. Do you believe that? We can make a mistake because we are men. And that is a judgment. If the Lord allows that to happen, that is a judgment for His church. Why? Because there will be followers. And then they are scattered. And all that work of men, that is brought to naught. We cannot see the end. We don't know the end yet from the beginning. And we need to make those decisions now. What do we need? We need congregation to be guided. We need to be guided by Him. Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of power. Oh, to send His Spirit in the midst of our meeting, that He may show us, that He may guide us. Oh, we beseech You. We beseech You that You would go with us, that You would go on Your knees, and that we may feel something of this, that there are those who are living alone with us, that we have not to make these decisions alone, that it may be for Your welfare and still the comfort, this comfort that we may have in that Word of God, that He is ruling, that He makes no mistakes, and that His work can never be overthrown. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bring Thy word in our hearts, because if it comes from Thee, it will never be overthrown, and everything that comes from us is wrong. O Lord, forgive all our iniquities and wash us and cleanse us in that free, atoning blood of Thy dear Son. Grant it unto us for the first time or by renewal, that we might feel the power of it for our own souls, that we may be given to plead upon it, that we may be given to cling with a true hope given unto us from above, which no man in this world can take away. Remember us in the rest of this day and in the week that lies before us. Give meditation upon Thy word of truth. Oh, give a desire in the hearts of those in whom it has never been, that they may also be a partaker of these very precious blessings. For Jesus' sake, amen. 381, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. I cried to Thee, and Thou didst save. Thy word of grace new courage gave. The kings of earth shall thank Thee, Lord, for they have heard Thy wondrous word. And what follows? 2, 3, and 4 of 381.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.